Thanks for your Hooters love and support during these difficult times. We'll always be here to offer a welcome escape from this crazy world with our amazing Hooters girls and fun-loving atmosphere. We know it can be tough to get out with friends and family these days, but don't worry, we've got you covered. It's fall, the game's on, and there's nothing better than Hooters to go to pull it all together for a great time. Hooters, our place or yours, we'll make it fun. Visit originalhooters.com.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I believe we are already up to episode 31 of this season 5. My thanks to Hooters for being the presenting sponsor for not only this season, but the previous 3 seasons of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you, Hooters. And if you, like me, live in the greater Tampa area, you know that the original Hooters brand has 11 locations throughout the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you. And especially if you stop in the John's Pass location right there off the beach at John's Pass, please say hi to the manager there. His name is Tony Metzler. He has been a podcast league player. He is a huge fantasy guy, not so much a good golfer, but a terrific man overall. Tony Metzler always would want to know that you're coming into the restaurant if you come to the John's Pass location, one of 11 original Hooters brands locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Also, a thank you to Bill Curry Ford. They jumped in this year when Hooters didn't want to host draft parties to save at least one podcast league. And Sean Sullivan, very active in even throwing a $1,000 bounty out there on the winner of the league. He is defending that money as one of the owners in the league, just as he did last year, but he hosted the podcast league draft on the showroom floor of Bill Curry Ford. That was after the showroom had closed on a Sunday. We had plenty of social distancing and a really good time in a unique setting for a fantasy draft. And just last week, Mark Wilty in the service department of Bill Curry Ford got me in and out in literally under 20 minutes when I had a tire issue on my 2014 Ford Focus. I love Bill Curry Ford. They have been selling and maintaining Ford vehicles for generations of customers in the Tampa Bay area. And I thank Sean and Mark for what they do for me in their support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hey, my social media where I posted all the photos from the podcast draft at Bill Curry Ford, as well as my golf tournaments, my webcast via the Identity Tampa Bay, which is on sports handicapping. It is weekly. If you are not aware of that, I do it all on my Instagram page at ToddWright2020. Some of it is promoted on my Twitter page at ToddWright2020, and more of it is promoted on my Instagram page and my Facebook page. And yes, it's just Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. I will never ask you to like an additional page. I promote everything on one page, my personal page, and please return the favor. Don't ask me to like additional pages if we are Facebook friends. Everything I need to see about you should be on your page. If you ask me to like another page, I don't know that we will be friends. Just putting that out there again. Hey, my email for fantasy football questions this week, and this week is going to be a little challenging, and I'm going to tell you why in the keyword. For week 10 fantasy football. So we're getting down now to the last 4 weeks of the regular season for fantasy football. Time to start winning, or time to just start maxing your points to get into the postseason. Keyword this week is Vegas, because that's where I'm headed in a few days. So when you email me, use Vegas in the subject line or early in your email to let me know you're an active podcast listener. I will only offer second opinions on fantasy football to those of you that actively listen to the podcast as of week 3 of this year. I appreciate how creatively and you've connected to me using the keyword understanding. I want to take care of you guys. Yeah, I've been taking care of people who didn't listen to my podcast for years. And I said, you know what? They've had 3 years. Start listening to my podcast, or I'm sorry, I'm not going to take time to do favors for you. And I think overall, you know, I'm not perfect, nowhere close. Ask any of the ex-girlfriends in my life. Always better when you're a lifelong bachelor to just say ex-girlfriends rather than ex-wives. I'm sure some of you would agree with that who have gone down the road of marriage. Nevertheless, I'm not perfect, but I think even this last week, someone was asking me about if it was time to turn the page away from Josh Allen. And I said, no. I said, it's not just the matchup this week. We've already talked here on the podcast about how matchups should not be the primary factor in who you play, especially with your best players in the fantasy lineup. But I just sort of said to the listener, I said, there's still so much to like, excuse me, about Josh Allen. I don't think you have enough reason to go away from him now, big picture. And Allen had one of the biggest weeks out there in a Bills win against a quality opponent, which they needed for their own team purposes by beating the Seattle Seahawks and actually holding on to a big lead against Russell Wilson and company. So, I'll be headed to Vegas this week, so use Vegas as the keyword in your email for week 10. Get your emails in anywhere from now until Saturday night. I don't have time to answer them on Sundays because you need information. It's time sensitive, and I have just tons of things to do on Sunday, namely my own leagues, not only as a player but as a commissioner, watching games, and I'll be in Vegas, so I'll have action on point spreads and money lines and totals in addition to all my fantasy plays. So please get in everything before you go to bed on Saturday night. And if you can, don't wait until Saturday night. I mean, Saturday night is fine, but some of your questions can be asked, like now, midweek. Nothing changes for some of these questions as the week goes on. But I think I've done a pretty good job giving a lot of you second opinions this year, and I'm going to try my best to maintain that level going forward here through the final 4 weeks of the fantasy regular season. So email me, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The week 10 keyword for you to include in your subject line or early in the base of your email is Vegas. So I'm not sure if I'm going to get you another podcast before I leave for Vegas. I'm going to try. Now, I will be cutting a Todd Wright Toddcast. That is a separate podcast, which I'd love for you to listen to as well. It is non-fantasy content. And I will be doing the Bucks Bulletin, which is a spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast specific to the Bucks matchup, which I believe this week involves Carolina. And already we have a question, even though he just came back, about a shoulder and I think more as it relates to Christian McCaffrey and his status kind of day to day leading up to that game between the Bucks and the Carolina Panthers. So I may have that game wrong for some reason, but I know McCaffrey's status already is in question after he returns and has a good game, and part of the reason why Carolina was in that game against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs over the weekend. So I will try to get an episode 32 of this season 5 of the Fantasy Football Podcast, but if not, because I'm not taking the podcast equipment with me. Sure, I'm taking an iPad with me and my phone, but there's other equipment that I use to get the sound quality decent and create the audio files that I want to create, and I'm not taking those on the plane to Las Vegas. So I'll do my best, but if not, this is it. But I'm there for you via email as the week goes on, even in Vegas. I got to get up early on Friday to be on with Gil Alexander at VEASAN, as we'll talk Masters. It's the very rare college football, pro football, Masters weekend in Las Vegas. There might not be another one of these. So I want to enjoy it. And I had a good time in Vegas for the opening weekend of the National Football League season. I'm more into college football now, certainly with the Masters. So there's going to be some action in the sports books of the South Point, the Westgate, and perhaps even a couple of bets made in some sports books actually on the Strip before I leave on Monday to head back home to Tampa Bay. And it doesn't look like I can play any golf here in Florida for a few days, so I might as well go out to Vegas and play golf out there. A bit drier. Okay, so I just want to look at recording this at 3:30 in the afternoon on Monday Eastern Time. We do still have one more game left on Monday night, but I would imagine it has very little impact on most fantasy results because the teams don't have players that are in starting lineups. When I look at the Patriots and I look at the Jets and the current state, I can't make much of a case for any player, okay, maybe Jamison Crowder, and not recently Cam Newton, that you would want in your lineup from these teams. And that's even with Harris having the good game rushing last week, probably not on teams or in starting lineups, just as Wilkins and Hines of the Colts, not on teams or in starting lineups. And then there was one more. There was one more running back that sort of fit the profile of, yeah, he's not helping anybody this week, but causes a run to the waiver wire. So we're basically through 9 weeks of relevant players. I'm going to look at the last 4 weeks based on my modernized standard scoring that I use as a commissioner in all of my leagues. And over the last 4 weeks, Dalvin Cook is one, Kyler Murray is two. And there's some pretty good separation. This is average points last 4 weeks. In one of my leagues, the only woman in our league, Tara, my friend Joey's wife, who struggled the first few years in our league, made the playoffs last year, and this year, she's the team to beat. She has Kyler, and she has Cook. So just this week alone, bang, bang, right? Two players might be good enough to beat someone else's team that had player on a bye week or injury problems. So good for Tara, and good for any of you that have paired up going back to August and early September. You drafted Dalvin Cook in the first round. I was a little spooked off by his contract status. And you waited out in order Mahomes, Lamar, Russell, Deshaun, Dak, then probably Aaron and Allen, and drafted Kyler Murray. I'll have to look up where she drafted Kyler Murray, but I don't think it was in the first five rounds that she drafted Kyler Murray, who we've talked about here on the podcast. Kyler Murray is doing this year what Lamar Jackson owners thought he would do this year. Cook and Murray, 1-2 the last 4 weeks. I have no reason to believe that's going to change. And I don't root for injuries or anything. I think that might be the only thing that would do it. And independent of their team status. Arizona, that's a bad loss to the Dolphins. Fantasy-wise, didn't mean anything to Murray's performance. The Vikings got off to a horrible start. They're playing better now. They've had a couple good wins back-to-back. Doesn't mean anything to Dalvin Cook's performance. So they are 1-2. Now, let me get to number three, because number three is one of the reasons I lost in the podcast league this week, although Kevin may have the best team in the league. I had Kevin in a vulnerable position this week based on a trade he made for a player on bye, and he didn't get a lot out of some other guys, but Justin Herbert is his quarterback, and Herbert, in my modernized standard scoring, in my leagues, the last 4 weeks on average is number three in point production. That's only behind Kyler Murray at the quarterback position. I look on Yahoo and I see that Justin Herbert is rostered in 89% of leagues. So the next statement is for any of you who play in a Yahoo league where Justin Herbert is on waivers. Claim him. Play him. This is stunning. With the numbers that Herbert is putting up, that he is not on over 1 of 10 rosters in any league. or a roster in over one of 10 leagues, 11%. That's ridiculous to me. I don't care what your attachment is to your particular quarterback. With Herbert putting up the numbers he's putting up with the, and it was because Kevin stacked Herbert and Keenan Allen. I know I own Keenan Allen in another league, so I was in that odd position of rooting for him and knowing he was hurting me in another league, and I ended up losing in both leagues. Thanks to Xavier Howard for all the DPIs that cost DeAndre Hopkins his normal production, which would have won me a game in the other league. Christian McCaffrey, look, it's a one game, so we kind of throw that out, but his average has him fourth just based on the production yesterday. It shows if you drafted McCaffrey and you've waited 2 months to get him, and now I know you're going to be frustrated with his injury status, but he is a hell of a player, and you just hope that this season is sort of an aberration, kind of like the first half of the year has been for Adam Thielen off his injury situation last year for the Vikings. At number five in average points the last 4 weeks, Deshaun Watson, just shows that the coaching change from Bill O'Brien did do Deshaun Watson good, even though the Texans are not in the playoff conversation. Russell Wilson is sixth. Patrick Mahomes is seventh. There's Fitzmagic at eight, even though he's now on the bench in Miami. Drew Brees at nine. Ryan Tannehill at 10. Now, let me go down further. And just actually, let me go to running backs, and we'll do the running back position specifically below Dalvin Cook and McCaffrey. There's Derrick Henry third, even though he didn't score for us, who have invested in Derrick Henry, still the touch count and his role in the offense is still impressive. Although it feels like Tannehill is doing more of the scoring than Derrick Henry. It's not like the scoring for Henry is bad, but in a game like yesterday, we're looking for Henry to do the damage near the end zone, and it was Tannehill. And obviously Tannehill's fantasy production has been good. I mean, it all works very well for the Titans, who again this year are a Super Bowl contender, just like they were last year, because the minute you think, well, we're not going to let Henry beat us, they can use play action and beat you with their passing game. Tannehill's found a nice home there. It's a good offensive system. I like it because it's, and I guess I'm getting old, but it's more traditional NFL with a play action pass, a dominant running game, and a quarterback, you know, as Aikman always took advantage of the threat of Emmett Smith in certain spots, Tannehill is doing the same. And Corey Davis had a good week 2 weeks ago. Jonnu Smith got back into the end zone. Firkser had the better of the last few weeks. And it goes on from there. And A.J. Brown, obviously, is a guy in your starting lineup every week. But Derrick Henry, still three. Average production, fantasy production. And remember, I do not play point PPR, point for nothing. Modernized standard scoring that I administer in my leagues, Derrick Henry is third. Miles Sanders is fourth, but we throw that out because he's been injured and there was even a bye week in there. Jeff Wilson, that's kind of odd that that's there. So I'm, you know, with the Niners situation right now, all the Niners, it's just, it's not really fantasy relevant. James Robinson comes in next. So as the Jags have struggled and even changed quarterbacks, James Robinson, still just a heavy, heavy workload for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then, interestingly enough, Kenyon Drake is next. And, of course, he's been out. Chase Edmonds taking that spot. Drake had a couple of big games to prop up his average the last 4 weeks. I'm going to pass up Ballage just because it's more of a recent thing and not something anyone drafted. And then there's Todd Gurley, still there. Someone told me actually a funny thing Todd Gurley said when asked recently, can you compare Jared Goff to Matt Ryan? And Gurley's response was, they're both rich. It's pretty good. Reminds me of Bruce Wayne in the most recent and not very good DC comic movie with all the superheroes. where the Flash asks him, what's your superpower? And Bruce Wayne says, I'm rich. Then we get to Carlos Hyde. Again, he's been out, so I throw that out because it's not a full sample. Alvin Kamara is next. He still did damage independent of the matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you kept him in the lineup, that was the smart move. Then actually you drop down to Josh Jacobs after that, again with high volume. DeAndre Swift is there, still there. And yeah, had a bad game a couple of weeks ago, but I mean, he's still someone Detroit is going to play as long as game flow doesn't get ridiculously bad against him. That's a running back Detroit needs to play because they've invested a four-year contract in him. Then Joe Mixon, albeit Mixon should be back after the bye. Ironically, Bernard follows him, Kareem Hunt, with the expectation that Nick Chubb comes back. And then James Conner is just after that. All right, let me go to the wide receiver position. Let's see what we see for average points in my modernized standard scoring the last 4 weeks. Davante Adams, number one. DK Metcalf, number two. Christian Kirk, number three. I picked him up on waivers this week and played him in one of my leagues, and he gets another big, big touchdown, mainly because Howard wasn't on him and drawing four or five penalties a game. So you actually got the points out of Christian Kirk. But he does produce – he's just got wheels, and they're just letting him cut loose. And if Kyler feels good about the protection and there's no safety back there, they're going to hit that play. So Kirk is three on average. Then A.J. Brown, four. Julio Jones, five. The production for Julio Jones has been there since he's returned from the soft tissue injury. Tyreek Hill, six. Really coming on. Had the big game this past weekend. Then Travis Fulgham, who I also picked up on waivers just a few weeks ago. A favorite target now of Carson Wentz and the Eagles, who basically are playing. The Eagles are going to win the NFC East. They're playing now just to get to a level where it's like, okay, we not only make the playoffs, but we can compete in the playoffs. So I hate to say it this way. The Eagles kind of, to me, it's a two-month preparation for a first-round home playoff game. That's what they're doing. Just prepare. I know you don't know who your opponent is. I mean, after Sunday night, it might be Tampa Bay, who would get the top wild card. Could be a Tampa Bay or an Arizona at this point that gets the top wild card. So the Eagles have 2 months to figure things out to be competitive when it counts, because they don't have to win a lot of games to win their division. And Fulgham has been a go-to target for Carson Wentz. Will Fuller. I guess more and more in the big picture, we wonder, had Bill O'Brien stayed in Houston, would the deal have been done? You know, because Houston made a lot of trades this last year plus. Some were good, some not so good. And Green Bay was very interested in bringing in Will Fuller, and the deal didn't happen. You wonder if it didn't happen because the I don't want to say the new people in charge at Houston, because it's all transitional at this point, they asked for too much. Because Houston's not winning anything this year. And, you know, Green Bay is in a tough spot next year to re-sign Aaron Jones. So they're just bringing in Fuller for now. But it didn't get done. But if you're a Will Fuller owner, you're not only pleased with his production, maybe you don't want him to go from Deshaun Watson to Aaron Rodgers, but also he has stayed healthy, which is something he didn't do in the past. That's ironically followed by Brandon Cooks. Look at what has happened with the Texans offense. It's a bad team. But since Bill O'Brien left, Deshaun Watson's numbers are up, Will Fuller's numbers are up, and Brandon Cooks' numbers are significant. Another guy, Brandon Cooks, who's available on the waiver wires the last few weeks. Speaking of waiver wires, there's Curtis Samuel. The Panthers are using him now the way we heard when McCaffrey first went down. We're just going to get him the ball in the backfield and let him go. Samuel is actually now taking away targets from Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. And you wonder what's happening here, or if just Matt Rhule is one of those guys that evolves the offense. That the more the offense centered on Robbie Anderson, we're going to use DJ Moore. Okay, defenses are now focusing more on DJ Moore. We're going to use Curtis Samuel. You know, Andy Reid was recently asked about Matt Rhule and said, yeah, I'm an idiot for not hiring him. Carolina is going to be a playoff contender. They are. They've got enough going for them right now where whether it's for a seventh spot or if the NFL increases to eight, you know, there's nobody from the NFC East other than Philadelphia. So we've got to kick out eight teams in the NFC are not going to make the playoffs. So we'll kick out three in the NFC. We assume that's Dallas, Washington, and New York. So now we're down. We need to kick out five more. We can kick out Detroit. That gets us down to four. I'm not ready to kick out the Vikings just yet. We can kick out Atlanta. So that's five. So that still leaves in the mix Carolina, maybe Minnesota, if they can run off a big win streak, maybe Chicago, and then whoever runs fourth. Niners aren't going to the playoffs. They're not. So we can kick the Niners out. They just aren't. They've dealt with too much. So it's Samuel, then Chase Claypool, then there's Keenan Allen. That actually seems low for Keenan Allen, based on the connection he has with Justin Herbert, followed by Tyler Lockett, who for the year, though, Tyler Lockett going into last week was a top six wide receiver. And I said to someone recently in a keeper league who was thinking about acquiring Lockett because he would have him for the next couple years, said, do you worry because Metcalf is such a stud? And this the guy who asked me this was a Chiefs fan. And I said, no, I don't worry. It's a successful team, and they have two primary pass catchers who both produce over the span of the season, just like the Chiefs with Hill and Kelsey. Now, from a fantasy standpoint, you're going to deal with, is it a Kelsey game or is it a Hill game? And in Seattle, you're going to deal with that too. Is it a Metcalf game or is it a Lockett game? But yeah, I think Russell Wilson can have two primary pass catchers that are worthwhile as fantasy starters over the span of a season. All right, that's enough for this podcast. It's already gone way longer than I wanted to. I apologize for my babbling. Hopefully you took something out of that. And remember, I may not be able to get you another one before I leave for Vegas. So email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Week 10 keyword is Vegas. Put Vegas in the subject line or in early in the base of your email to let me know you're a podcast listener. And I'll be happy to respond to your email with second opinions on anything you need for week 10. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, and I thank Hooters for doing this for the past four seasons as we wrap up episode 31 of season 5 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening.